discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
I used to be a lesbian. With those words, the powerful author, speaker, rapper, and poet Jackie Hill Perry shares her story, tracing a road of gender confusion, drug abuse, and same-sex relationships to wholeness and rekindled faith. In a world where these topics are one of our central divisions, both inside and outside the church, Jackie shares her new book, Gay Girl, Good God, the story of who I was and who God has always been. Jackie Hill Perry is a writer, a poet, an artist whose work has been featured on the Washington Times, Desiring God, the Gospel Coalition, and today we welcome her back to Faith Radio. What a treat to have you here, Jackie. I was telling you before we started that I've heard so many of your tweets passed along from my friends that meeting you verbally is a really special thing for me.
That's hilarious. I should start to put that in my bio. I tweet. Great. I'm kidding.
Oh, please don't. I think you should. Yeah. I think you deserve it. That or a plaque somewhere is definitely deserved.
That's a lot of pressure.
As I said, I mean, I've been hearing so many things about the power of your journey, your story. But because of how supercharged and sensitive this topic of sexuality and gender is in our culture, I guess I really hadn't appreciated it until I started reading more that for you, sometimes even accepting a speaking invitation will lead to protests and the controversy. Yeah. So just off the top, why did you want to wade into that reality? What made you want to tell your story and write this book?
Because I don't think God allowed me to venture into lesbianism and sexual immorality and all types of things, save me from me not then to be able to say, hey, this is God, this is his gospel, and this is how it transforms lives. And so for me, it feels lazy to not do it, especially if God has given me a voice and influence to be able to speak into the culture in such a way that I just don't feel like I have a choice. Yeah.
There was another descriptor really along those lines that you gave about your story. You said that even though it may seem that my testimony is my testimony, it's actually more than that. It's a story of redemption that points to the reality of a redeemer. Can you take us inside what that means?
Yeah, I think testimonies can do two things. You can leave learning a whole lot about the person, even as a Christian, or you can leave learning about the person and learning a whole lot more about God. And so for me, I just didn't want it to be, oh, look at this girl. She used to be a lesbian. Now she's a Christian with a family. Yay. That's not enough. That's not satisfactory to me for you to learn about me as if I can give you eternal life. But for someone to learn, okay, how can I grow and learn how to empathize and love others from our story? But man, look at God. Look at how great he is. Look at how good he is. Look at how his gospel transforms. And if it transformed her, then it can transform my sister. It can transform me. And so, yeah, I just think the Holy Spirit in me is way more satisfied when people leave knowing God better.
Wow, that is so well said. Okay, so let's go ahead and engage the rewind button here then of your story. Tell me a little bit about little Jackie and what her view of God was, because you did attend church in your earliest years, right?
I mean, I thought he was real. I remember seeing like the pictures of Jesus with the lambs and the sheep and sitting around smiling. I didn't know what that meant. Jesus was Jesus. But I will say that my assumptions about God more so came not from what I learned in like church or Sunday school, but from just the Christians that I knew. The Christians that I knew, they just seemed really bored with life. It didn't seem that their Jesus was infectious. And I might see that differently now if I was able to observe as an adult. You know, they might have been going through a trial or going through a season of hardship, so it was hard for me to notice. But I think what I thought about God was that God was probably boring and just wanted people to do a whole bunch of things that they didn't really want to do, but they had to do because they didn't want to go to hell. Mm. That's literally what I thought.
Well, we'll take the turn with you to the next period of your life in just a moment. If you're just tuning in, this is Jackie Hill Perry, an author, a speaker, a rapper, and a poet. Her latest book is Gay Girl, Good God, The Story of Who I Was and Who God Has Always Been, now available from B&H Publishing. She's also a tremendous tweeter. How do you begin to make this turn then in your life towards really traveling away from who Jesus is, even in that concept of God amidst the lambs and amidst the sheep? And what did that period of your life look like for you?
I think for the most part, I'm one of those people, when I do things, I really do it to the fullest, even if I know it's not true or not right or not okay. Even when I was a lesbian, I knew that it wasn't okay. I had read it for myself, and I would tell people, I know I'm in sin. I know I'm an enemy of God, but this is what I want to do. And so God can't stop me, and you can't stop me. And so my level of rebellion was intense. I think the heart of that is I couldn't help it. I couldn't help to not do what felt natural to me. And so growing up, you know, that started off as just me being disobedient with my mom or lying or stealing or whatever. But that gradually became, okay, I've been feeling same-sex affection since I was 4, 5, 6. And it's getting to the point that it's taking more work for me to deny that they actually exist than it probably would be if I was just honest with myself and willing to just do what I've always wanted to do in the first place. And so in high school is when it came to a head where I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to be gay. This is what I want to do, and this is what feels right to me.
Well, your conversion experience is truly extraordinary. It comes when you're 19 years of age, right? You're in your bedroom, and God basically meets you there in that place, right?
Yeah. And he's so intrusive, and I love it. Because I wasn't praying. I wasn't asking to be a Christian. I wasn't looking for God in any way. I wasn't watching TBN. I was watching MTV. And so I was just in my bed, and it felt like God had spoken to my heart. And I just had these strong thoughts that made me start to consider my sin and their consequences out of nowhere. And I started to think through everything that I loved and enjoyed, not just my lesbianism, but lying and stealing and being disobedient to my mother. I remember hearing the law read from Exodus, and that God was not pleased with that too. And that everything that I enjoyed, I saw that its consequences were death, and that this death was not a metaphor, that this wasn't theoretical or imaginary, but it was like, oh no, you will die. That's actually the truth. And so I started to just think about I thought about Jesus. And it was like, if God is calling me out of these things that I think are satisfying, that I think are a joy, then he must be a better joy. Then he must be actually more satisfying to be offering himself up as an alternative to everything that I loved and enjoyed prior. And so I just told God, I was just like, I really don't know how to walk free from all that you're calling me to do, but I'm going to believe you. And I didn't know that that was faith, nor did I know that what I was doing was repentance. It was just that I saw my sin as worthless, and I saw Christ as the only proper alternative for me to turn to. I knew I couldn't turn to myself, because I knew myself too well to know that I couldn't overcome sin. Mm. And so that was just what happened. I didn't know that would make me a Christian, but it did.
Well, that's a simple sentence, but like so many of the things that you say, there's such a profound importance in it, isn't there? Because so many of us, we walk that road where we try, that's exactly what we try to do. We try to find redemption in our own strength, right? And we all discover that we can't do it, but God really blessed you with that knowledge in that way, didn't he?
Yeah, that was the Holy Spirit. When 2 Corinthians talks about the veil and how the enemy blinds the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. To me, that was God breaking in, removing the veil where I see light now. And light is just common sense. It's, oh, God created you. God died for you. Believe him. where the gospel isn't foolish anymore, because it is foolish to those who are perishing. But those who are believers, this is power now. And this is something that I want to enjoy and take a hold of. And so, yeah, that's nothing but the Father, because I couldn't have worked that up.
Oh, that's beautiful. Jackie Hill Perry is with us, an author, speaker, a rapper, and a poet. Her latest book is Gay Girl, Good God, The Story of Who I Was and Who God Has Always Been. The title itself is a little bit poetic, let's be honest. Now available from B&H Publishing. You had this very powerful, very amazing piece in Christianity Today not long ago where you talked about really this juncture in your life, because there was someone that you were with, your girlfriend that you were with, and basically saying farewell to that relationship. It had to be incredibly difficult. Can you take us a little bit inside really what you talk about in that piece, which is that you loved her, but you loved God more, you said?
That was actually the hardest part, I think, of kind of walking out this salvation now, which was, okay, I have to let go of this relationship that means a lot to me, because I loved her and we enjoyed each other and I was with her 2 days before that. And so in my mind, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to see her tomorrow. And then God steps in and changes everything. So now my whole world is thrown into something that I just didn't expect. And so I called her and I just told her how I felt. I was like, I love you. I don't remember the exact wording, but it was something to the point of I have to serve Jesus now. I can't serve him and you, or I can't serve him and be with you. That would just be a hindrance to what I believe he's calling me to do. And so there was a real grieving of the death of that relationship. I think I grieved her for a good year and a half, probably, because I missed her and I wanted to be with her. And it felt like we didn't end on terms that were in my control. Does that make sense? It wasn't like, oh, we're mad at each other, here comes Jesus, let's break up. It's like, no, we're in love with each other, here comes Jesus, and I have to break up with you.
Yeah.
It's just different. And so, yeah, that was tough and it was hard, but I think that's a part of taking up your cross. Is taking up your cross comes with difficulty and dying to certain relationships and certain things, but if that's what God has called us to do, then we have to be willing to believe that that's the right thing, even if it feels really bad.
That's so true. You know, it strikes me, obviously, this is, for you, this is a very epic moment, this moment of decision in your room that night. It's an instantaneous moment, but of course, you know, a process, a journey to where you are today and to the powerful message that you deliver to so many. I wonder, so many of us, I think we have a moment, right? Whether it's at summer camp, whether it's at church, and the moment where we feel that fire, we feel that passion, you know, it eventually dies because we don't feed it somehow. What are some of the ways that you started to feed it and started to really set out onto this holistic purpose that God had for you?
I think initially, because again, I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but I knew, okay, maybe I should go to church. So I got plugged into a community, and I think being plugged in that community, that's where I discovered my gifts. That's where I saw the necessity of Bible reading and understanding. That's where I saw the need for prayer, even the need for confession. And so I think that's kind of where it came out of, is me first going into a church and being in that church and being surrounded by believers that are older and wiser and having a pastor who could lead me lovingly towards Jesus. I think that's what helped to anchor me in the faith, where it wasn't just, okay, I repented and believed, now let me just try to do this on my own. But it was like, no, like, you've been reconciled to God and you've been put into fellowship with a body and a community of other saints who can point you to the truth continually.
Well, that's great. You know, another part of your journey too that I think I know for myself, as somebody who battles, you know, temptations every day, was so encouraging. You talk again about the instantaneous nature of the conversion experience, but I think a lot of people would be encouraged to know too that this is still a journey for you. You didn't necessarily stop having temptations in that moment of conversion, did you?
No. And still don't. I think my temptations have gotten easier to overcome or less intense in many ways. But I think knowing God and growing in godliness means that I'm much more aware of all the other ways in which I'm tempted that I wasn't aware of before. But I think initially I had heard some discouraging messages from pulpits where they would speak about deliverance, quote unquote, as if it meant that to come into fellowship or a relationship with Jesus meant that I was not supposed to experience temptation from homosexuality, frankly. They would say, you know, if you deliver from that, you shouldn't struggle with that anymore. And I think the person that said it, I could see why they would assume that, but I would think that they haven't gathered that from the Bible. Just because I think looking at Jesus, you see that he is the Son of God, the purest one ever. Yet he was tempted, yet without sin. And so I think for me, it took a while for me to learn that I shouldn't be shamed by my experience with temptation, because Christ doesn't shame me. If anything, he empathizes with me and offers his throne of grace for me to come for help in my time of need. And so it took time, and it still is a struggle at times to not think that I am how I feel, you know, not think that my affections find me, but rather like, no, I'm a new creature. And so because I'm a new creature, even if I'm tempted, I am given the power to flee.
That's great. I love that so much. In fact, you've written about temptations now. You say you look at those temptations for what they are, unworthy and powerless. If somebody doesn't feel that way today, maybe just some hope that there is a path to getting to that place.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we need to remind ourselves always is that the tomb is empty. I don't think Easter should be the only time that we exalt and meditate on the resurrection, because it's the resurrection that I can look at and say, man, Jesus defeated death. And the same power that was with Jesus where he could overcome death and put death to death is the same power that says that the scripture says lives in me because I repented and believed in Jesus. And so if something that is that strong to overcome something that no one else could overcome before, because everybody dies, death is obviously very strong, but Christ is more, he's stronger than that. And so I just have to believe that God really is stronger than sin, that the Holy Spirit really is stronger than my temptations, that I really am able to take a hold of what he's offered me, which is himself, and walk in freedom. And so I think prayer does that, community does that, and just the willingness to trust that God is telling the truth when he promises us freedom.
Jackie Hill Perry, her book is called Gay Girl, Good God, the story of who I was and who God has always been, from B&H Publishing, just out. And of course, when it comes to topics, I mean, what topic has been bigger for the church over the past couple decades than this of gender and of sexuality? And, you know, as a faith community, we've basically been trying to figure out how to talk about this and what to say. As someone who's walked this road so hopefully, what do you hope those in the church can learn from your story? I realize that's a fairly enormous question.
Yeah, I think empathy would be helpful, because I think Jesus learned empathy. He came and lived like us. I say that loosely, but he did. He was able to understand our condition as humans and now able to walk with us and empathize with us in our weaknesses. And so I think in the same way, we as Christians would do well to understand our gay and lesbian friends, how they feel, how they came to realize that they were same-sex attracted. How is that? What are the fears, the pains, the joys even that they might have? And I think that gives us greater clarity on how to minister to them and how to teach the truth. But also, I think I just want us to bring, I want us to be more holistic in how we approach the topic. Because even though my book is about sexuality, I think I'd spend a lot of time to show that the problem isn't my sexuality, but it's my heart. And so I want us to kind of get back into loving people holistically and seeing that my gay friend is more than my gay friend. They are image bearer of living God. And so if it is so much more to them than who they are sexually attracted to, then it must be so much more to them that God wants to make whole. And I think people would really benefit from that kind of, you know, gospel presentation.
Huh. That's so good. And of course, you address it multiple times in the book as well. The place that we're trying to get to is this empathy that you describe so beautifully. Empathy mm-hmm. without affirmation, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. I mean, it's difficult to even talk about. Do you have any sort of advice on how to arrive at that place?
I think a proper understanding of sin, our sin nature, and our depravity and what that means, I think that should anchor our empathy, because the empathy isn't just, oh, I'm so sorry that you feel this way. Let me affirm that it's okay to feel this way.
Right.
That's a really bad example, but there's that. But empathy that says, you know what? We were born with this sin nature, and it does affect us in really hard ways. And how you feel does feel as if it's something that's a part of you and in you and something that you want to love. And I think there are plenty of people, even my husband, we talked about this last night, how he was saying that for him, when he was not a Christian, it felt unnatural for him to not be with more than one woman, in the same way that it felt unnatural for me to be with a man. And so there's the empathy now that he has for men or women that he might meet that are gay, and says, no, this feels right to me. This feels natural to me. He's like, I get it. You get what I'm saying? Because he recognizes what sin does and how sin has distorted us in many ways. And so I think as long as we don't loosen up our grip on the doctrine of sin and the doctrine of total depravity, then I think we should be good and not pushing and not confusing affirmation and empathy.
That's so helpful and so inspirational. The story of Jackie Hill Perry, an author, a speaker, a rapper, a poet. The book is called Gay Girl, Good God, The Story of Who I Was and Who God Has Always Been, from B&H Publishing. And we have just a couple minutes left, Jackie. Don't want to leave without giving listening friends who are captivated by your story and your ministry and all the truth that you share on Twitter and here on the radio, where can they go to learn more about you and find a copy of the book?
Yeah, my website has everything, www.jackiehillperry.com. It feels lame to say www. But I just felt like it was 1998 for a second. But yeah, that's my website.
Well, and specifically, as someone who can speak to how awesome it is, you should also share your Twitter handle, because she shares amazing truth there every single day.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Instagram and Twitter is Jackie Hill Perry. Luckily, there's not many Jackie Hill Perry, so I didn't have to do any underscores or 07s after it.
Well, it's such an inspirational story, and I thank you, first of all, for your bravery in coming forward and talking about these things. I mean, these are not the easiest issues in the world to talk about, so thank you for being willing, and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com. Maybe